Good evening. Welcome to tonight's episode of the Mike Malloy Show. Thanks for tuning in. We have more craziness on the program tonight than I thought humanly possible, but we'll get to it in a second. We have a breaking story here, and for you to get all the details, I'm not going to get into it, but Brad Friedman has it all posted at bradblog.com. So go there, bradblog.com. The story is the South Carolina Democratic Party Executive Board has rejected Judge Victor Rawls' protest to the U.S. Senate primary, regarding the U.S. Senate primary results, despite no evidence presented that the results were accurate. And despite the winner, quote, Alvin Green, having not even shown up to the protest hearing. So Alvin Green's election as the Democratic Party nominee for the U.S. Senate to run against incumbent Republican Jim DeMint stands. That was pretty slick. That was pretty good. I think the Republican Party on that one, the corporate Republican Party on that one deserves an A. I mean, to take a complete nobody and have him defeat a South Carolina Democratic politician who's been in office for 18 years. Or, I mean, for a number of years, defeated by 18 points and never raised a dime. Never, oh, you know, to hell with it. South Carolina is a freaking zoo. It's just a zoo. Oh, dear God. What a sewer. So go to bradblog.com and you'll get that entire story. Now, if you were expecting, Tony Hayward, this morning to apologize for the, just incalculable disaster, ongoing disaster. We haven't gotten the full impact of this disaster yet. There's more to come. That his company caused. If you expected Tony Hayward to apologize, it was a Republican member of Congress. You all know this now. Everybody's heard this all day long. Joe Barton from Texas, who, along with other members of the Republican Party, have declared their utter contempt for American workers, their complete contempt. Joe Barton sits there and apologizes to Tony Hayward, apologizes to BP. Joe Barton has received so far this election cycle over $100,000 from the oil and gas industry. You know, I've been saying for 5 or 6 years on this program, maybe longer, that all Republicans hate the United States. All Republicans hate your sons and hate your daughters and want them to go die in these oil wars. Republicans are a disease. It is a mental illness in addition to being an organization of just a terrorist organization. John Cornyn, a senator from Texas, said he shares Mr. Barton's concerns. This crazy psycho from Minnesota, Michelle Bachmann, said that BP shouldn't agree to be fleeced. Rush Limbaugh, the pig man, this obese, death by temptation bastard, called it a bailout. The Republican Study Committee, with its 114 members in the House, called it a shakedown. The fact that BP has agreed over the next, 4 years to deposit $20 billion into an escrow account so that the people along the Gulf Coast will not lose everything. But Republicans hate workers, always have. Republicans hate America, always have. Republicans hold the military in utter and complete contempt, always have. But it's just, you keep in mind something. If the Republicans do get control of the House this next election cycle, Joe Barton will be the chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. That's the committee that oversees regulation of the oil and gas industry. So I don't give a damn how you vote. Matter of fact, I would just as soon have everybody stay home and not vote. Because it doesn't make any difference who you vote for anymore. But just so you know, that Joe Barton will wind up being the go-to guy in the House if the Republicans win the House back this next election cycle. And again, like I say, on a very essential level, I couldn't care less which party wins. They're both the same. They're both owned by corporate America. But at least the Democrats still pay a little bit of lip service to caring about us small people, us little people. Ah, you sons of bitches. I swear to God. Companies like Halliburton, by the way, the company that was Cheney, I noticed Cheney's disappeared too. Cheney's company, responsible for cementing the Deepwater Horizon rig, companies like that are directing their political committees to deliver thousands of dollars to Republican candidates this cycle, not to any Democrats. It's just, I don't know. If you're an American, not a Republican, if you're an American, you probably wonder what the hell is going on. Well, you know what's going on. This is the end result of the corporate takeover of the government of the United States. This is it. They own the government and they damn sure own the political parties. When some half-witted geek like Joe Barton opens his mouth and the truth vomits out, I don't know why everybody's surprised. We want you to hear it. Let's do Joe Barton, okay? This is Joe Barton. A lot of people think he committed political suicide by apologizing to Hayward. Hog snot. He's going to be a hero of the Conservative Party because he spoke the truth. They hate Americans. Here's Joe Barton.
I'm ashamed of what happened in the White House yesterday. I think it is a tragedy of the first proportion that a private corporation can be subjected to what I would characterize as a shakedown. In this case, a $20 billion shakedown with the Attorney General of the United States, who is legitimately conducting a criminal investigation and has every right to do so to protect the interests of the American people, participating in what amounts to a $20 billion slush fund that's unprecedented in our nation's history, that's got no legal standing, and which sets, I think, a terrible precedent for the future. I'm only speaking for myself. I'm not speaking for anybody else, but I apologize.
Oh, my God.
I do not want to live in a country where any time a citizen or a corporation does something that is legitimately wrong is subject to some sort of political pressure that is, again, in my words, amounts to a shakedown.
It's just
so I apologize.
Now, let me see. How long ago was it when pigs like Barton, these snorting, groveling, filthy pigs, and don't send me an email that pigs are clean. I don't care. I'm going by the stereotype, pig. How long ago was it when these filthy Republicans were making a big deal about Barack Obama dropping his head, bowing, didn't they say, to the Queen, Japanese Empire? Who was it, Kathy? It was somebody that Barack Obama, you know, bowed his head a little bit. And here is this filthy subhuman Joe Barton apologizing to a predatory capitalist organization that has effectively destroyed the Gulf of Mexico, and it's not going to stop there. There is hell coming out of the bowels of the earth that you and I are not even aware of yet. And here's Joe Barton, a Republican, apologizing to the CEO of a company that has just destroyed the southern everything, the Gulf of Mexico, the livelihood of millions of people. And what is Joe Barton? Who does Joe Barton take up for? Right. The capitalist organization that is just eating America alive. And why? Because Joe Barton's taken care of. He doesn't give a damn. He couldn't care less.
Dark and smoky night. She said, I'm tired of the war. I want the kind of work I had before, a wedding dress or something white to wear upon my swollen ass.
He's the primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
Bob in Kentucky writes, in my time on this planet, I've been lucky enough to see a few of the greatest practitioners of a particular art. Buddy Rich playing drums, Greg Norman on a golf course when he was number one in the world. But today I got to see someone who has finally perfected lying as an art form. Tony Hayward, CEO of BP. Beck and Limbaugh are amateurs compared to this guy. Also, while I'm ranting, if the populace cannot see that probably all of Congress is in Big Oil's pocket from the comments of Joe Barton from Texas, there's truly no hope for the country. How does this guy breathe with his head so far up BP's rectum? Bob in Kentucky. Now, after the Republicans got a hold of Barton after his comment, everybody went to lunch where Barton sat down, obviously, and had a cup of oil. The leadership of the Republican Party, while they completely agree with Barton, said, you shouldn't have said it on television. Oh, my God. Now you got to apologize. The apology is bogus as anything that Tony Hayward said. But here's Joe Barton apologizing.
I want the record to be absolutely clear that I think BP is responsible for this accident, should be held responsible, and should in every way do everything possible to make good on the consequences that have resulted from this accident. And if anything I've said this morning has been misconstrued in an opposite effect, I want to apologize for that misconstruction.
The misconstruction, yeah. Well, in the first place, it's not an apology. Nobody said he questioned BP's culpability. What he said was the President of the United States had set up a $20 billion slush fund that was a shakedown. Did he apologize for that? For that comment? Of course not. Should he? Of course not. Why should he? What difference does it make? Joe Barton will get reelected by more votes than he got elected the last time. Because this country is a goddamn asylum. That's what this country is. You might as well get used to it. Everyone in this country is nuts. Especially me. Because I sit here and do this 25-cent talk show instead of taking to the streets fully armed with flashlights and candles and matches and a lantern looking for these swine.
And what are you going to do when you find him, Mike?
Representative Markey, Democrat from Massachusetts, disagrees with Barton's apology to BP and characterization of Obama as a mafia type involved in a shakedown or illegal slush fund.
I want to begin by disagreeing in the strongest possible terms with what Mr. Barton said in his opening statement. No, this is not a shakedown of the company. This is the American government, President Obama, ensuring that this company is made accountable and sending a signal to all other companies that seek to treat ordinary American families in a way that can destroy their entire family's history.
You know, I said this during the last campaign. Why not let McCain and Palin have the presidency? Let's just end this comedy of errors. And I really am at that point. I hope, first of all, that the Republicans find somebody to challenge Barack Obama. And I hope that person wins. I secondly hope that the Congress of the United States, both the House and the Senate, falls back into the hands of the Republican Party. I hope that happens. I sincerely hope it happens so that we can get on with getting to the end point of this corporatocracy. And the end point of this corporatocracy is for everything to collapse, everything to just fall apart. And then maybe rational, reasonable people can start the rebuilding process, or the reasonable people will leave and just get the hell out of the zoo, this asylum. But I want to see this election cycle. Yeah, I know. And don't send me emails about, the Supreme Court, Mike. Listen to me. The Supreme Court is in the toilet along with the executive branch and the legislative branch. Who doesn't believe that anymore? Who doesn't believe that? Do you think that Barack Obama is going to nominate a liberal or a progressive to the Supreme Court? Wake up and smell the oil. Are you out of your minds? Let's just bring the curtain down on this, and maybe there'll be enough of us left to start the process again.
Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. Henry Waxman at the hearings today on Tony Hayward's stonewalling.
I'm not prepared to draw conclusions about this accident until such time as the investigation has concluded.
Well, this is an investigation. That's what this committee is doing. It's an investigatory committee. And we expect you to cooperate with us. Are you failing to cooperate with other investigators as well? Because they're going to have a hard time reaching conclusions if you stonewall them, which is what we seem to be getting today.
I'm not stonewalling. I simply was not involved in the decision-making process. I've looked at the documents, and until the investigations are complete, both yours and others.
That's somebody else's conclusion. What's your conclusion?
I haven't drawn a conclusion.
I haven't got one,
Mr. Chairman.
I see. My time has expired, and I'm just amazed at this testimony. Mr. Hayward, you're not taking responsibility. You're kicking the can down the road and acting as if you have nothing to do with this company.
No, but
nothing
I am.
To do with the decisions.
I can't.
Find that I find that irresponsible.
I can't... I don't know anything about what you're saying. Who are you, anyway? You're Waxman? Is that your name? Well, well, I don't know. I'll wait until the investigation is over. Isn't that what you chumps say? And by the way, Mr. Waxman, how many members of this august body has been receiving checks on a regular basis from BP and my my lads from the other parts of the industry? So let me just say this, Mr. Waxman, the rest of you sitting there, including you, Joe Barton, kiss my grits. Thank you very much. Yes.
I love this logic, though. I mean, the guy must have really studied U.S. politics, I'll tell you, because it's like, okay, we're conducting an investigation. Well, I can't answer your question until the investigation's over. Well, that's why we're here. We're trying to get, it's like, who's on first? We're trying to conduct an investigation. Well, until the well, how do we conduct the investigation if you don't answer the questions? Well, once the questions are answered, then I'll be able to answer the questions once the investigation's concluded. So, well, if you don't answer the questions, then we can't get the answers. You know? But I wasn't involved in the decision-making process. I'm just a PhD and been the head of BP for 16 years, having promised to focus my laser-sharp vision on improving the safety record.
What was it? Somebody...
And 700-and-something violations in 3 years later.
Yeah. Well, somebody sent me something that is apropos what you're talking about. It was one of those classic circular logic things that I can't seem to find now. Although I had it here, I don't know what I've done with it. Perhaps it'll turn up later, but may I be excused to go to the bathroom, please? All right, Batty Michelle Backlund. What was it somebody said last night? Bachman crazy overdrive? Something. It was
Bachman turnip overdrive.
Something. I don't know. Anyway, here's you got to wonder which side she's on. She sides with the Joe Barton nutballs by defending BP against the Kenyan that we have in office, the dark skinned person. On John King's CNN program last night, she. She's recently called the $20 billion escrow fund Obama's redistribution of wealth fund. Oh, you weaselly bastards. I want you to take over the United States. I want the remaining people in this country to see what it's going to be like under Republican administration, Republican Congress, Republican Supreme Court. Then maybe people will rise up and end this nonsense and restore legitimate government. That's what I want to see happen. Come on, Republicans. Here's Batty Bachman.
We don't think it's a good idea for the federal government to see private industry as essentially a piggy bank for the federal government. This is an appointee from the Obama administration who will be doing the payouts, and it's the Pazar dealing with the administration. So this is very different from what we've done in the past. And while it's important that all the claims get paid, let's just make sure that this isn't a permanent ATM card. It seems like the automatic effort from the government is let's have the federal government take over private industry. We don't want to have the federal government take over effectively the oil industry.
Oh, why not? God, I hate these people. Yeah, you want to hear something funny? Virgo Rising sent this to me. Listen to this. We give homage to the founding fathers. They not only proclaim that the freedom and rights of men come from the Creator and not from the state, but they provided safeguards to those freedoms. Our government was created by the people, for all the people, and it must serve no less purpose. Our party was formed 100 years ago to preserve the nation's devotion to these ideals. On its centennial, our party again calls to the minds of all Americans the great truth first spoken by Abraham Lincoln. Quote, the legitimate object of government is to do for a community of people whatever they need to have done, but cannot do at all or cannot do well for themselves in their separate and individual capacities. But in all that people can individually do as well for themselves, government ought not to interfere. End quote. Our great president, Dwight Eisenhower, has counseled us further. He said, quote, in all those things which deal with people, be liberal, be human. In all those things which deal with people's money or their economy or their form of government, be conservative. While jealously guarding the free institutions and preserving the principles upon which our republic was founded and has flourished, the purpose of our party is to establish and maintain a peaceful world and build at home a dynamic prosperity in which every citizen fairly shares. We shall ever build anew that our children and their children, without distinction because of race, creed, or color, may know the blessings of our free land. We believe that basic to government integrity are unimpeachable ethical standards and irreproachable personal conduct by all people in government. We shall continue our insistence on honesty as an indispensable requirement of public service. We shall continue to root out corruption whenever and wherever it appears. We are proud of and shall continue our far-reaching and sound advances in matters of basic human needs, expansion of Social Security, broadened coverage in unemployment insurance, improved housing, better health protection for all our people. We are determined that our government remain warmly responsive to the urgent social and economic problems of our people. To these beliefs, we commit ourselves as we present this record and declare our goals for the future. Those are the initial several lines to the Republican Party platform of 1956. The expansion of Social Security, taking care of people who need help, expanding, providing health care. Steve in Grapevine, Texas says, Mike, I called Congressman Joe Barton's local office in Arlington, Texas to voice my displeasure on the congressman's despicable comments today when he apologized to BP. The woman answering the phone is a real blank. The way she defended him, you would have thought she was Barton's Monica Lewinsky. I would like for all your listeners to call this office and let these people know how you feel about the congressman's comments. Do you want Joe Barton's phone number? Sure, it's on his website. Why not? We'll give it to you. Do you want his phone number? Can I see some hands? Okay. You got something to write with? Joe Barton's office down in Arlington, Texas. Let him hear from the people. Yeah! Let Joe Barton... Where's my goddamn chalkboard here? Let me draw some stuff back here. Yeah! Okay, you ready? Area code 817-543-1000. Representative Joe Barton should hear from you. Call him up and tell him, hell yeah, we support you, Joe! That Negro in the, that Kenyan in the White House setting up that fund. By God, Joe, somebody needs to speak out. If it wasn't for you and Michelle. 817 area code 543-1000. 817-543-1000. Call him up, let him know how appreciative you are that he had the guts before the party leadership told him to sit down and zip it. Oh, we got some Limbaugh for you, too. We'll do that when we come back. What a scum-sucking pig. Stay with us.
voice inside your head. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 9 before the hour. Dan in Ohio, regarding the Supreme Court that is now become nothing but another branch of corporate America, Dan in Ohio writes, "Hey, Mike, don't forget when Sammy the Goose was confirmed to the Supreme Court, they blessed the hearing room with oil, remember? Doesn't come much more full circle than that, does it? Remember that? That group of Christian crazy asses got into the room and smeared oil on all the seats in the Senate confirmation room.
It was reminiscent of John Ashcroft.
Ashcroft used to cover himself with oil before he would go out and talk about it's code orange.
Before he draped the breasts of the naked giant statues behind him on the justice.
Yeah, oh my God!
You cover up the justice. I love that.
Let him have it. Let him have the whole damn government. Give it to him. No, give it to him.
You crack me up. You used to call him the Crisco Kid.
We're moving to Vancouver. BC. No, you know, since my grandfather is Italian, what did we hear the other day? I can move to Italy and qualify for citizenship like immediately. Yeah. I don't know about you and Molly, but I can do that. I'll send you a card, right? Hey, ciao!
Send me a card and a respirator.
There you go.
So I can still breathe the air.
Epi 10. Who is one of our more dangerous listeners and emailers, Epi10 writes in the subject line, "And in the center ring, Waxman even looks the part of a circus barker, doesn't he? I used to love this guy back in when he'd kick ass at the corruption hearings a few years back when I was young and stupid. I thought he'd really do something. Never happened, just theater, nothing more. Nothing will come of any of this blank. Never does, never. Waxman's just a tough-talking, babbling wimp, just like every other piece of blank-blanking-blank Democrat in Washington. What a blanking circus. I hate these blankers. Oi, Epi, or is that oil? No, it's oi, Epi 10. You want to let the pig man, we got time for the pig man? The pig man was telling the families of poor, or his listeners, and by extension poor children who are hungry, to go dumpster diving for food rather than this filthy government run by this communist, fascist, socialist Kenyan to provide meals, the public school children during the summer months. Let's listen to a minute 42 seconds.
Then a companion story from AOL News. Record number of U.S. kids facing summer of hunger. With the school year ending in communities across America, more than 16 million children face a summer of hunger. Now, Michelle Obama told us they're all so fat and out of shape and overweight that a summer off from government eating might be just the ticket. Could it be possible? While classes were in session, they relied on free or discount. And this, of course, takes into no account that the parents, I guess, just going to sit around and let their kids starve. Why, if the kids don't do it, they're going to starve. If the schools don't do it, the kids are going to starve. The children caught in the gap will likely spend the next few months caging leftovers from their neighbors, chowing down on cheap junk, lining up with their families at food banks. They're already overmatched or simply learning to live with a constant headache, growling stomach, and chronic fatigue. When school rolls around again in the fall, they'll be less healthy and less ready to learn than their peers. God, this is just we can't escape these people. We just can't escape them. They live in the utter deniability of basic human nature. They actually have it in their head somehow that parents are so rotten that they will let their kids go hungry and starve. Unless the schools take care of it.
Of course, for some reason, he this filthy, disgusting subhuman, who never has any trouble eating, I'm sure you're aware of that from watching this gelatinous blob of goo bounce around on his TV stream. But his ability to denigrate kids. Here we have how many million people unemployed? Not like Limbaugh. Limbaugh, who gets paid $25 million or $50 million a year to be a lying shill, a scum-sucking piece of human waste for corporate America. Millions of people unemployed with kids, losing everything. And this disgusting, lard, just, God, oh man, when the lights go out, I get this guy. I swear to God I do. We have another piece of sound that we'll have to play for you when we come back, where he suggests that the children learn how to dive into dumpsters and retrieve food that way. And I know that I know you're sitting there going, that can't be, Mike. Nobody in American radio is that filthy, that vile, that foul. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a bunch of them. We're just going to play the pig man. Wait till you hear this when we come back. Welcome back. 7 past the hour on the Malloy program. We're going to get to the pig man here in just a second. Bob in Coos Bay writes regarding regulation. That's what it says in the subject line. He writes, Mike, you may have noticed that Fred Thompson, yes, that Fred Thompson, has recently replaced Peter Graves as pitchman for AAG's reverse mortgages since Graves' death. But maybe you haven't noticed that during the ad, in big letters on the screen, it reads, government insured and regulated. So what the hell is Thompson doing, pitching for a government-regulated agency? Yeah, I'm definitely wandering around in someone else's acid trip, Bob and Coos Bay. We all are, Bob. I hadn't noticed that. I have a good friend who's in the reverse mortgage business. Tells me business is just great. And I said that Epi-10 is one of our most dangerous listeners. He writes, hey, I'm a lovable pussycat. Really, I am. It was Chuckle Nuts and Company that made me into a raging, pissed-off, screaming lunatic. I'm the nicest guy you'd ever meet. Really, no joke. Epi-10. Oh, my God. Okay. You heard Limbaugh telling poor children who are, he was addressing his audience. Now, in this next clip, he's going to tell the children what to do. And he has a new feature coming up on his program this summer for all the kids who will not be fed now because school's not in session, you see. And the school breakfast and lunch programs are closed down during the summer months. So, so if Limbaugh had his way, hungry kids would remain hungry kids, period. They can starve to death. Limbaugh is a filthy, disgusting personification of predatory capitalism at its worst. He's just a filthy beast. I don't understand how this woman who married him, how does she get in bed with this slob? I mean, how do you do that? How does she sit across a dinner table from him? How does she? Never mind. Okay, here he is to 20 million people in this country. Here is God.
You know, one of the benefits of school being out, and in addition to your kids losing weight because they're starving to death out there because there's no school meal being provided. One of the benefits of school being out, college camp high being vacant this time of year, is that our audience levels go up. And I think, you know what we're going to do here? We're going to start a feature on this program, Where to Find Food, for young demographics. Where to find food. Now that school is out, where to find food. We can have a daily feature on this. And this will take us all the way through the summer. Where to find food. And, of course, the first will be Try Your House. It's a thing called the refrigerator. You probably already know about it. Try looking there. There are also things in what's called the kitchen of your house, called cupboards. And in those cupboards, most likely, you're going to find ding-dongs, Twinkies, Lay's Ridgy potato chips, all kinds of dip, and maybe a can of corn that you don't want. But it will be there. If that doesn't work, try a Happy Meal at McDonald's. You know where McDonald's is. There's the dollar menu at McDonald's, and if they don't have chicken McNuggets, dial 911 and ask for Obama. There's another place, if none of these options work, to find food. There's always the neighborhood dumpster. Now, you might find competition with homeless people there, but there are videos that have been produced to show you how to healthfully dine and how to dumpster dive and survive until school kicks back up in August.
Can you believe that this society produced a filthy human being like that? A society that has in it an element, corporate America, that determined that this pig is worth $50 million a year. That's $1 million a week. This filthy, dehumanized pig is worth that. I get him. When the lights go out, he's mine. There's no question about that. None. What am I throwing away? Oh, yeah. Joe Barton's local office in Arlington, Texas. If you missed the phone number, here it is. Area code 817-543-1000. 817-543-1000. It is time for a missive from Prairie 2, Jumping on the Island. He writes, unemployment claims for last week took a sharp turn up, and the news said the analysts were expecting the numbers to go down. The analysts always seem to be wrong about these binary choices. They need to get a better coin to flip. Then maybe they would be right half the time. The new number wiped out all the modest gains over the last 4 months, and claims are back up above January numbers. More kids to go dumpster diving, I guess, right? On the subject of analysts, stock analysts are almost universally picking BP as a buy stock. They're using their heads, or they're using the heads I win, tails the suckers lose coin to pick that stock. BP's assets are at most worth a couple of hundred billion, and it has a good $1 trillion in liabilities about things getting any worse. Without things getting any worse, of course, the analysts are issued their coins by companies that have BP stock to unload. The consumer price index fell last month in a period when we should see inflation. Inventory levels are getting quite high again, and nothing is being done to boost demand. With layoffs picking up again, demand will begin another downward spiral, and deflation will likely follow once companies start to run short of cash and start cutting prices to make payroll for their CEOs. At the moment, everybody is flush with cash, but commercial credit has started to tighten again. The housing market is starting to deteriorate already, and the last of the sales where the buyer received government incentives haven't even been processed yet. New construction is sagging, of course, with more and more foreclosed homes coming on the market. The only bright note everybody is pointing to is a sharp uptick in pickup truck sales. But this is probably just pent-up demand from people who have been putting off replacing a worn-out equipment rather than any real growth. The Finance Reform Bill is in conference committee to reconcile the House and Senate bills, but it remains unclear if any real reform will survive. Eight House members, mostly Republicans, are the subject of an ethics investigation for shaking down Wall Street banks just before voting on the legislation in early December. The fact that some withdrew amendments that would have cracked down on the banks after getting huge bundles of campaign contributions to their personal political action committees is largely shrugged off as business as usual. These PAC slush funds allow congressmen to wield influence beyond their everyday corrupt practices by bailing out colleagues who would be voted out of office if their constituents weren't bombarded with TV ads. Thanks to the Supreme Court, corporations can now campaign directly in elections with unlimited funds, so these PACs are likely to fade away. Fundraising will become much simpler for a congressman as corporations will simply express their jumping needs, and the congressman will only ask, how high? In Italy, during the 20s, the legislature finally stopped meeting entirely as the Council of Corporations made all the decisions. Of course, today we have TV cameras, so the congressman will continue to perform as if it were some sort of reality show. But on this show, the tribe doesn't really get to vote anybody off. That's decided by the corporate suits behind the cameras. Prairie 2. Prairie2.com. Send him an email.
Monkey-free zone.
The hour. I had something here. Fox Channel is just a filthy sewer itself. I mean, anybody that's on that place is just, oh my God. But they have come up with they've come up with the newest lie. They've said that Obama has sliced off a piece of Arizona and given it to the Mexicans. And you know what? The right-wing morons are spreading the story that Barack Obama, you know, the Kenyan, the communist Nazi, figure that one out, the one who better keep his hands off their Medicare, their government hands off his Medicare, has decided to slice off a 200-mile strip of Arizona and give it to Mexican drug gangs. Why does Fox have any access to the public airwaves at all? I don't get it. It's a traitorous organization run by a megalomaniac psychopath. That employs people who are all recent escapees from death row. I don't get it. Oh well. Tony in Maine writes, if you continue to play clips of Limbaugh, I will be forced to pray for you to return to your gloom and doom talk about the gusher in the Gulf. I don't know what's more depressing, hearing actual human beings talk like Limbaugh does, or hearing about how the seafloor of the Gulf will trigger the sleeping giant, the New Madrid Fault, which could split the country in two. It's a real toss-up. I think I'll go back to watching Game 7 of the Celtics versus the Lakers. Go Celts. Why aren't the Celtics called the Celtics, the Boston Celtics? I could never get that.
Probably for the same reason in Georgia we have a main thoroughfare that we affectionately call Ponce de Leon.
That's true. When I first moved here 40 years ago, a main drag in Atlanta, Ponce de Leon. And I called that, and people look at me and say, what? Ponce of what?
You ain't from around
here. You ain't
here,
from
are
here.
You, boy?
It's Ponce de Leon. And up in North Georgia, it's not Lafayette, Georgia. It's Lafayette. Lafayette, Georgia. Hot damn. Get it straight there, you Yankee dude. This is from Peter, who writes, Mike, the subject is perspective, please. Mike, I was trying to get some comparison between the dead oily birds in the Gulf and the dead innocent families in Iraq and Afghanistan. No sale. We are the murderers, not BP. Perspective, please. Signed, Peter, more or less giving up. And surreality from BD. A friend of mine said in an email that the older she gets, the more surreal life seems. I agree. I feel like no matter what we do, we have no more effect on the world now than cats and a potato. We watch this movie before us and believe it to be real. It's a performance. It's choreographed for the citizens to be shocked and become sheeple. It's just that life isn't what it was. It is no longer real. There was a time when we were in life. There was a human need for art, music, literature, and culture. We were involved in the war, racial injustice, women's rights, etc. People marched, read, and discussed those issues. They raged against the storm. The effect of such a groundswell of furious citizens was enough to affect change, politically and socially. We had genuine political heroes and inspired artists and musicians. Now, instead of Dylan, Hendrix, Miles, and Coltrane, the Beatles, the Stones, Ferlinghetti, Ginsberg, Kerouac, and actual journalism, now we have MBA grads and lawyers who become CEOs and politicos. Today we are zombies on a conveyor belt. We question nothing. We are absorbed in so-called reality shows, iPhones, BlackBerry, cyberspace, and a general overload of information and distraction. Critical thinking has been sucked out of us. We accept the deaths of our soldiers, the slaughter of innocent families by drones controlled by some 20-year-old playing a video game. We don't think about it. We just work and pride ourselves on how good we are at multitasking, which is actually doing the work of two other employees who've been fired. The banks and the corporations now own our lives. Ecology, fishing, farming, and people are all expendable. The Southeast and probably the whole East Coast is being killed. But that's okay. Let's see who's on American Idol. But the water doesn't flow. It boils with every poison you can think of. And I'm under the
ready for a liberal helping of truth? It's more Mike Malloy.
I need this hopeless feeling, like I need a hole in my head. Give up my whole day's wages to get this hole in the wall. I call a holster that is empty, just a gun to the head. I am a holy roller, I'm playing Russian.
25 before the hour. Regarding dumpsters and kitchens that Limbaugh is suggesting children familiarize themselves with, Kate writes, Mike, Rush is sadly out of touch with the current conditions. Thousands of houses don't have refrigerators, nor do they have electricity to keep them running. And the dumpsters aren't the place to eat anymore. Back in the day when I was on the street, they were wonderful places to dine. But for over a decade, McDonald's now pours bleach over the discarded food every night, and most grocery stores crush the garbage and the dumpsters are in locked enclosures. They say it is because of rats, but bleach doesn't make the rats taste any better. Folks who are well fed and paid are so out of touch. What fools. Kate. Earlier in the program, as a matter of fact, at the very beginning of the program, we had a breaking news update bulletin kind of thing for you, courtesy of bradblog.com. And now, guess who's on the phone? Bradblog.com himself. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm okay. Now, I heard this, and then went to your website and read it. That the state Democratic committee in South Carolina has decided that Mr. Green is going to be the Senate. I can't even say it. All right. What is the bradblog.com take on this?
That's exactly it. Alvin Green won resoundingly in this protest that was held by Vic Rawl. It was absolutely unbelievable. I watched this entire thing 5 hours today.
Yeah.
Judge Rawl presented a very impressive case with a whole bunch of computer scientists and security experts who argued that there is no other explanation for Alvin Green having won other than a problem with the ESNS voting system hardware or software.
Or them again.
Yeah.
ESNS. Sorry. Okay.
These guys are experts. They looked at it. They also have political science experts and said there is just no other explanation. They also brought forward voters who said they tried to vote for Judge Rawl on the touchscreens and the vote kept flipping over to Alvin Green. You've heard that story before.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I hear that story in my nightmares now, but...
Yours too, huh?
Yeah,
I mean, it was an absolutely compelling case, and Alvin Green didn't even bother to show up to the hearing.
Right, right.
And at the end of the presentation, Rawl's attorney, who had laid out the case, basically said, look, executive committee, you've got to make a decision here. You know, the burden is now on you to decide if this election is true and accurate as based on the evidence that has been presented to you today. Well, the only evidence presented to them today was that it wasn't true and accurate. There was no evidence, zero evidence, given that the election was accurate, and yet they voted 38.5-7.5 to reject the protest and to keep Alvin Green in place. It was, I don't even know what to make of it. The guy didn't show up and the Democratic Party still approved it.
Well, I've got a couple of theories. In the first place, wasn't Lee Atwater from South Carolina the operative that was so vile and vicious and turned politics into a blood sport? He's the one that came up with, I believe, on a national basis, the, what was the, I forget the guy's name now, the black prisoner who was released.
And Willie Horton.
The Willie Horton
man.
Yeah, that was Atwater's. And Atwater was so vile and vicious on his deathbed as he's dying of a brain tumor. He asked for forgiveness to the people of South Carolina and the United States for all the evil that he injected into our political system. Well, that was very cute. And I think that Lee Atwater thought he was going to go see his Jesus person. And that's the reason to confess, because, you know, that's the out with Christianity. You can be the most vicious SOB on earth, but as long as right before you take your last breath, you say, wait, I'm just kidding. You're home free.
Yeah.
So Lee Atwater from South Carolina, A.B., I don't know anything about the South Carolina Democratic Party, but I do know about Southern Democrats. And probably still a majority of them are real racist bastards. And I just have a feeling that some of the Southern Democrats and Southern Republicans over there in South Carolina, the Republicans decided to get this guy nominated so that the Democrats would go crazy and not vote for him, because he is a obviously he's a I don't want to say he's functionally illiterate, but you know, he did pass whatever tests are required to go become a killing machine for the U.S. military. But to make the white Democrats in South Carolina flee from this black candidate, which gives the Republicans then a twofer. Not only do they get into the general election somebody who doesn't have an ice cube's chance in hell, but they also get to say to black folk in South Carolina, see, the Democrats don't like you because you're race. What do you think?
Well, you know, that theory may work, but there's a problem with it, which is that even if you get Alvin Green into the race, even if he is a plant, first of all, it seems like if you're going to put a plant in there, you're going to put somebody who's, you know, viable, you know, who can string a few words together.
Right.
So this guy is a dope, and then he did no campaigning and nothing. So even if he is a plant, it doesn't explain how he wins that election. I mean, it's just strictly impossible. Vic Wall campaigned all over. You know, he wasn't the most popular guy in the world. He only had about an 18% name recognition, but he had a name recognition. He campaigned all over the state. He had, they made hundreds of robocalls, of robocalls, hundreds of thousands of mailers. They had hundreds of people working as volunteers. He showed up at some 70 or 80 campaign events around the state. He actually campaigned. Alvin Green showed up with $10,440, became a candidate, and then went back to his father's house and was never heard from again until he won. How did that happen?
Well, it's insane. And with his name spelled with an E, I wonder how many people thought that they were voting for maybe a descendant of the people who founded the city Greenville, South Carolina, because the green in Greenville ends in an E, too, I believe.
Well, you know, that was an early theory that, you know, African-American voters saw the E at the end, and somehow that they see that as an African-American surname.
Right.
Problem is, somebody, I mean, you know, there's been a lot of statisticians looking at this. Over at 538, they looked at it. They looked at census data, and they found out that if you had an E at the end of your name in green in South Carolina, you were far and away more likely to be white rather than black.
Right.
So that theory didn't work. The crossover voter theory didn't work. The racial correlation theory didn't work, A, because nobody knew, you know, what color green was, in fact. But also, when they looked at county by county, they saw that there was no correlation between, you know, race and people who voted for green. You had green winning in white counties and losing in majority black counties. There was just no other explanation other than something happened with those computers, whether it was hacking, whether it was just one of those accidents. Who knows? But there seems to be no other explanation. Just having him on the ballot,
right? That's
as a
true.
Plant doesn't work.
That doesn't work unless the machines are votes are diverted and changed. So, what's up with the South Carolina Democratic Committee? Are these a bunch of halfwits? I mean, what's going on there?
I'm still trying to process it myself. I mean, I talked to the campaign to Rawls' campaign manager. I mean, he's just as gobsmacked as I. Nobody can believe that they lost. And you could listen to the questioning during this thing, and the whole thing was streamed live. It seems like the members of the executive committee accepted the argument. You know, they weren't coming out and saying, ah, there's a bunch of conspiracy theories and so forth. There was some concern, well, if we reject this election, how can we accept all of the other elections that were on the same ballot? So there seemed to be some concern about that. Are they opening up a can of worms? It was unclear what they do. If they do reject this thing, how do they hold another election? Mm-hmm. Do they do it on the same machines? Who pays for it? I think they would just rather stick their heads back into the dirt, act like this never happened, pull the covers over their head, and you know, continue to stay in this world of extraordinary denial that they're in. And by the way, it's not just South Carolina who uses these exact same ES&SI Votronics. Right. They're used in dozens of states. You get the pleasure of using the Diebold version of those same touchscreen machines.
Well, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're out of time, Brad, but what's going to be a lot of fun is the election coming up this November and then the election next November. It's going to be a hoot. Brad, thanks.
Thank you, brother.
All right, man. Take care.
You bet.
Go to his website, bradblog.com, and be nice to him when he substitutes for me starting July 5th. We'll be right back.
Had another cup of coffee. Here's Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to you in a minute. From Sphinx. Mike, I agree completely with the assessment you read last night in Mother Jones by Miss Julia Whitty. I would go even further than she did and say that not only the Gulf region or the Eastern Seaboard is in for some deep, deep doo-doo, but the entire nation. My train of logic tells me that the relief well may or may not stop the oil from hemorrhaging from the bowels of the earth, and let's all hope that it does stop. However, even if the oil was to stop hemorrhaging this very moment, it would not change a thing as far as the environmental damage is concerned. The main problem I see coming is the health aspects that will have the potential to wipe out entire states. Check this out, Mike. Right now in the Gulf area, around the accident, everything in the water is dead or dying, which includes the plankton, the crustaceans, the fish, etc., all dead and dying. Millions of life forms dead and dying, combined with toxic crude oil and dispersants, equals a witch's brew of death and destruction for America and all the countries in the Gulf region and the Yucatan. Imagine for a moment dumping millions of dead things on the shores of Louisiana, Florida, Mississippi, or Alabama. Don't you think that it would cause some sort of health hazard, maybe even on the scale of the Black Plague that wiped out a third of Europe? The problem that I'm confronted with is that those that do not have a rosy picture to paint of the disaster are ridiculed and called unpatriotic for sounding the alarm. Again, I sure do hope that my assessment is wrong. But in the meantime, I'm stocking up on water, medical supplies, and MREs, meals ready to eat. Well, I hear you. From Janine. Regarding Congressman Joe Barton, who opened his mouth and let the spiders roll out this morning in the hearings, Janine writes, regarding online news from BBC, I came across the comment regarding the cleanup fund BP is required to set. The comment was made during a congressional hearing in which Mr. Hayward was addressing Waxman's committee. From the BBC, quote, Congressman Joe Barton, the senior Republican on Mr. Waxman's committee, said that while he agreed BP should explain its actions, he was ashamed to see the firm being made to set up the compensation fund, end quote. BP, he suggested, had been subjected to a $20 billion shakedown by the Obama administration. I am really angry by this comment and hope that you will use it on your show as a point of discussion. Last night I cried after hearing a letter or report read on your show where someone had written that they were ocean kayaking and the water splashing in the face was covering them in oil. Dolphins were swimming through this mess as well, and they were observed blowing oil from their blowholes. I was sickened at what our folly has imposed upon the environment and on creatures that cannot escape this disaster. How dare this congressman side with the corporation that created this disaster? He's ashamed that they're being held accountable. Hopefully his words will be remembered when his reelection cycle comes around. My personal wish for Mr. Barton is to give him a life jacket and let him swim with the dolphins. From Janine. Yeah, he'll be reelected, though, Janine. You got to understand where he's from. He's from Texas. I'm sure he's from a district in Texas that was gerrymandered to make sure that this piece of human waste gets reelected over and over and over and over again so that he can continue to do the dirty business for big oil. There is a bottom line to this, though, and it doesn't. The bottom line is not BP, and it's not the Obama administration, and it's not Dick Cheney. The bottom line, and this is the part that 99.8% of us totally reject because denial is a great defense mechanism. The bottom line is us. The bottom line is us. We have had 3 decades, 4 decades, to stand up on our hind legs as a people and say, no, this is enough. There were people predicting 30 years ago. I remember listening to them. People predicting, Helen Caldicott was one. You know, of course, she was the Australian pediatrician. Of course, she was anti-nuke, but she went even further. She was just one of many voices that were out there 30 years ago saying, the world has to wake up, not just Americans. But the world has to wake up and stop this. If you want to see a real horror story that doesn't affect millions of white people, like the Gulf of Mexico disaster is affecting millions of white people, mostly white people, let's face it, go to New York Times today in the A section and read the story about what has been happening in Nigeria for the past 50 years. Go ahead. Just go to nytimes.com. or NYT.com, and type in Nigerian oil and read it. It's not that long. Not that the horror that has occurred in Nigeria by these same oil companies mitigates the experience we're about to have, but it does explain one more link in this chain of death and destruction that using fossil fuels has brought to us and continues to bring to us. So we can go after BP, and we can go after Joe Barton, and we can go after the filthy pig man, Rush Limbaugh. And we can go after anybody we want to, the oil industry, the fossil fuels industry, the hydrocarbon industry. Go after them until your eyes bleed and your lungs collapse and all your children die. Or we can finally do what we should have done 35 years ago and say, no, we're not going to use these fuels any longer. The problem with that bottom line is that it's fictional. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. Okay, here's something from BGM. BGM, subject line, possible explanation. BGM writes, how's this for an explanation for the election of Mr. Green in South Carolina? The voters heard what the incumbent had to say through all of his appearances and decided they did not want him. They decided to just vote for, quote, the other guy, end quote. He never said anything, so they liked that better than more of the same Democrat. I know this won't get airtime, but be honest, it's the simplest answer. Okay, could be. Occam's razor. Sometimes the simplest explanation is the correct explanation. The only thing is here, the other guy, Rawls, was not an incumbent. He did not hold the office either. He's a former Superior Court judge. But okay, could be. Jeanette sent me something here written by John Trudell. Yeah, if you are you familiar with his poetry? I was not. But after going to his website, I think he's probably worth checking out. John Trudell, T-R-U-D-E-L-L. Here's one he wrote just a couple of weeks ago called Disguising the Hydras. The false faces keep talking, too many lies, too many promises, trying to convince everyone what's happening isn't happening. And the great murdering, serial killing, the air, land, water, bleaking tomorrow's future, toxic wasting everyone's mind. Repetitions of wounding the scars, disguising the hydras of rage, the many faces of fear, the power of powerlessing. Vampire and cannibal menus, feeding the poor to the richest, then eating the richest from the inside. Institutions to civilize the minds, herding the human beings into industrial shock treatment, calling it the path to heaven. And the great hypnotizing, separating self from worth, pretending sleeping is awake and nightmares are only dreams, and reality isn't really real. John Trudell. Look him up. T-R-U-D-E-L-L. John Trudell. We're coming to your phone calls just a second. This is from Cynthia in San Jose. For the criminal brain dead drill baby drillers. Mike, just a thought, maybe something you can use. But you hear these Republican bastards demanding more deep sea drilling, etc., with their brain dead idiot ditto heads parroting them that we have to keep drilling because we need the oil. Well, how about this? Truly, we can live without the oil. We did for millennia, but we can't live without an environment. If they think we can, then I suggest they go to outer space and try living there without a spacesuit. Or even go to barren, lifeless place like the moon if they like dead planets so much, because that is what we are getting on this planet from all their stupid, idiotic, and criminal goddamn drilling. Cynthia. Okay, last one, and then we're coming to your calls. Subject line says BP distraction. This is from JH. Here's a suggestion to take your mind off the growing oil apocalypse that will eventually kill everything in and around our southern Gulf of Mexico. Relax into the comfort that the end is near, I guess, and the death of the planet will come out of a giant diarrhea hole spewing crude BP into the sea. Anyhow, I was on the bus yesterday coming back from our neighborhood Target when I noticed a woman with her child climbing onto the bus. The child looked as if he was around 5 years old, and he appeared to be close to 300 pounds. To my surprise, he was simultaneously shoving into his face a giant glazed donut and a chocolate candy bar. As I watched his two-fisted food fest, I was distracted out of listening to my Malloy podcast from the night before and fixated on the child. Moments later, he and his mother, who was twice his size, began arguing over who would get to eat the last bit of the glazed donut. I think they are probably on the right path. Just have a donut. I'm not thinking about oil anymore. Devoted podcaster and still thin in NYC. Have a donut. Yeah, have a donut. Why not? I have before me, I'm not going to do it tonight, I'm going to do it tomorrow night, Friday night. I have before me an essay, and we haven't had one of these for a long time, from Bridget Wolf. Bridget Speaks, and we're going to do it tomorrow night. Anything else we're going to do tomorrow night? No, we don't have anything, podcast trivia, yeah. Oh, wait a minute, one last thing. I know, just hold on. This is from Kay, our education affairs correspondent, whose parents are German speakers and English. Hey, Mike, last night the German National News ran a segment from Washington regarding Obama's Oval Office speech. After showing the clip in which the president stated that America needs a new energy policy, the reporter commented as follows. Here's my on-the-fly translation. This is the German news guy. Dramatic words, energetic gestures. The president is trying desperately to prevent himself and his administration from being damaged by the feeling of outrage and powerlessness throughout the entire country. Now historic decisions must be made. According to Obama, quote, we must finally begin to conserve energy, end quote. For Europeans, this concept is self-evident. But this here is America. The Republicans have already announced that they will fight bitterly against this. End quote. That pretty much sums it up, doesn't it? And we wonder why we are regarded as arrogant, ignorant, and spoiled children in other parts of the world. Okay. Oh, P.S., if the Swedish language is anything like German, I think I know why the chairman of BP referred to, quote, little people in his press statement yesterday. In German, the term for average people is einfach Menschen, which literally translated means simple people. Imagine if he had used that expression instead. Ah, the challenges of translation. Yeah, especially when you try to translate idiomatic language. It's very difficult. Things get lost. One of my favorite websites is signs from China that are translated into English that are some of which are very idiomatic, and they're very funny. Pat is in Detroit listening on XM. Hey, Pat. Pat, let me put Pat on hold. Maybe it's a problem with our system. Julio in Columbus?
Yes. I want to say, first off, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I think all the comments, you know, I have quite a few things to say, but first off, real quick, I think all the comments that you make in reference to Republicans is absolutely despicable. You have a president who is so far left. First off, he's attacking Jan
Brewer. Wait, where'd this guy come from? He lied to you? Let me tell you something. Who was that? Julio? That's probably not his name. Let me tell you something, jerkwad, because I doubt if your name is Julio. You don't call this program and lie to the producer. Now, go back to playing with yourself or whatever you were doing when you got the sudden urge to call this program. Scram, nutball.
standing up to the flying monkey right. It's Mike Malloy.
I would not run from the Holocaust. I would not run from the bomb. I'd welcome the chance to meet my maker and fly into the sun. Fly into the sun. Fly into the sun. I'd break up into a million pieces and fly into the sun.
It is 21 past the hour. From Tom in Joshua Tree, California. Isn't the Joshua Tree an organism that lives like forever? I mean, even more than the big giant redwoods? I don't know. Hi, Mike. Democide. Democide is a term used akin to genocide that describes the eradication of a geographic population. Much like what happened to the 20 million Ukrainians starved to death under Stalin. It is a term that is very much a part of the oil cartel's equation. They know that time is on their side. A couple of good hurricanes will take the dispersant and oil mixture into the fertile valleys and prairies and will function just like Agent Orange. It will be in the air and the rain and the water and in the soil. Crops will perish, people will perish, and vast new wastelands will be made available for oil, mining, and minerals. What need is there of an American people when it is our resources that matter? And since Americans themselves have sold away their liberties and resources, well, you guessed it. Maybe it's just a bad love story. If the British East India Company and the Crown can't have us, nobody can. A fine, dark end to the rebels' justice and liberty for all. Or maybe it's Moby Dick's revenge. Maybe. That's where the oil craziness started, wasn't it? Wasn't Moby Dick the great white whale? Wasn't that book written during the time of the whaling industry's pursuit of whale oil? It was used for everything at the time, right? Yeah, I think so. Where did I read that? I don't know. Sean is in Vancouver, Washington. Hey, Sean.
Mike, I love your bumper music. One I haven't heard in a while is called If You Tolerate This, Then Your Children Will Be Next by the Manic Street Preachers. I thought that sounded kind of appropriate for...
For sure. For sure.
But, Mike, one of the things I've been doing to keep myself as sane as possible is listening to you and listening to Hartman and also reading this book called Endgame by Eric Jensen.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't read it, but I've certainly have heard about it. It's, I understand it's a pretty intense read.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Just very briefly, I came to a part in volume one of the book where Derek comes to the point where he realizes that he's been waiting for an I told you so moment. Mm-hmm. And that in any situation where there's an abuser and someone who's being abused, the simple fact is the abuser never will have an I told you so moment. The abused has only two options, run or fight.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still in the run phase, but I'm running out of places to go.
Yeah, I know that that response, that fight or flight response that we all have, it's, you know, it's a survival, the key survival mechanism. And I don't know, I get very frustrated because I don't feel like I can do either.
Mm-hmm.
And that can cause I don't know. It could probably either cause the civilization to collapse or at least a good case of constipation, one of the two. Maybe both.
Well, I'm not sure where I got this, Mike, but I keep waiting for the humanity of the conservatives or the Republicans to show itself. You know? It's like, where did I get that? Where did I pick that up?
Because at one time, I think Republicans did have... people who claim to be Republicans did have, if not humanity, certainly closely approximating humanity. I don't want to give them too much credit ever, but I think, you know, 60, 70, 80, maybe 90 years ago, I read earlier tonight part of the 1956 Republican Party platform. It was an election year. And it was when, Eisenhower was seeking his second term. And in reading the Republican Party platform, just a little bit of it tonight, they talk about things like expanding Social Security, taking care of people who need to be taken care of, providing health care for people, making sure that our children have good educations. I mean, my God, it reads like something out of Karl Marx.
Well, you know, Jensen's main point, I think, is that abusers abuse because they enjoy it. That's the sad, shocking, simple fact, whether it's ecocide,
right,
or the destruction of people.
Right.
They do it because they enjoy it and they get something out of it.
I think
and they're never going to stop. You either run or fight.
I think you're right. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Appreciate you checking in. Yeah, I think every member of the Republican Party is of that mindset now. You know, of the abuser, and they do it for sport. You know, I've said before that the only reason thugs and monsters like Glenn Beck and Limbaugh and the rest of these pigs say the things they do is because they want to see people at each other's throats. Beck would be happiest if he could see people killing each other in the street. Limbaugh would be happiest if he could see people killing children in the street.
Coin experts are...
Time to practice your synchronized screaming. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Let's try Pat in Detroit again. Are you there, Pat?
Well, I'm here if you're talking to me, but my name's not Pat.
Oh, what's your name?
Gerald.
Oh, Gerald. Are you in Detroit?
Yes.
Oh, you're listening on XM?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, Gerald.
Well, I guess what I wanted to talk about was you tried for some time to use the GD and SOB words less, but you've been using an awful lot of the L word tonight.
The which one?
The Limbaugh.
Oh, the L word? Yeah, I have. I apologize.
Or you could just call him the blatherskite, I guess.
Blatherskite. What does that word mean? That sounds like it's an old Irish word.
Yeah.
I guess somebody that just talks, like diarrhea of the mouth, right?
More or less.
Yeah. Okay. What else you got?
That was pretty much it.
Okay, well, that's a good suggestion. Thanks, Gerald. I appreciate it. Sorry I called you Pat. Andy is in Ripon, Wisconsin. Is that the home of the Ripon Society?
Well, no, it's actually the birthplace of the Republican Party, though. Unfortunately for me.
Okay. What's up, Andy? One question. Is your name Andy?
Yes, it is.
Okay, we got that right. All right, go ahead.
I was calling because I saw on the news today that I called you about 3 weeks ago and told you about this boat of scientists that went out and were observing the oil spill.
Mm-hmm.
And today they have that same guy on. I think his name's Matt Fisher or something, but he owns a energy company, and he's been working with and around oil all his life.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that that they all believe that the casing is blown out on the wellhead down at the bottom of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that the chances of a secondary well going in and plugging this are slim to nil. And he said the only way for them to, if the well casing is indeed blown out, which he strongly believe is the only way to seal this is with a thermonuclear blast.
There are several people talking about this who are credentialed, but there are an equal or greater number of people, equally or greater, with greater credentials, who are suggesting that since it's never been done before, yes, we've done underwater nuclear tests, not for a long time, but, it's never been done before on a wellhead, a mile under the surface of the ocean.
Right.
That the risk involved here is it's the kind of risk that, one shouldn't take because there's no way to figure, what would happen if things go wrong?
Right.
There is no basis of comparison. When they are working at that depth under that kind of pressure, with I mean, it just goes on and on and on.
Right.
And besides, the end result could be a radioactive oil gusher coming out of a huge crack in the mantle or the floor of the sea. Yeah. So, you know, at this point, having listened to this, from several sources, like apparently you have, I have come to the conclusion that I don't think that's the way to go. I hope nobody makes that decision.
Well, he said that it would melt, the rocks or, you know.
It's like
a glass.
Sure. In a perfect, you know, if everything went perfectly according to the theory, because there is no fact to work with here, if everything went according to theory, yeah, it would just glass over this rupture in the seabed, and everything would stop, and we would all be happy campers again. But I hope nobody makes that decision, Andy. I really do. Having listened to arguments on both sides of that, I come down on, oh no, hell no.
I just wonder how they're ever going to get that thing to stop, you know? I mean, it just seems to me that, you know, it's next to impossible.
Well, it does. I think the only bit of wiggle room, and again, relying on people who have been emailing me, the bit of wiggle room is the shaft or the thing that's being drilled now to try to get into the source of this gusher and suck it up through a normally functioning siphon or well or whatever.
Yeah.
Which will divert it from, you know, gushing out into the Gulf. If that doesn't work, then the other option, if there are only two, if there are three, nuclear bomb,
right.
Digging the second well or third, having a couple go down there to try to relieve the pressure, and then the third one, and this is even almost as horrific, if not more so, than the nuclear bomb. And that is to let this thing just run out, and it should empty within the next 30 years.
Oh, God.
Of course, by then the seas are all dead. Everything's dead. And of course, what is it? I'm pulling a number out of thin air here, but 60, 70, 80, 90%, well, not that much, 60, 70, 80% of the oxygen available on Earth is a result of a process, a production by plankton.
Yeah.
And if the plankton are dead, it's you know, it's time to lay down and let the deep darkness wash over you.
Yeah, it's just the whole thing is just a nightmare.
Oh, it's horrible, Andy. Yeah. Thanks. It's unbelievable. Who would have thought that this could be something we would be dealing with here in this time in our lives? A lot of people did. A lot of people said, you are doing something, this deep water drilling, that is going to explode in your face. You can't do this. Now, I can't cite chapter and verse of the many people who said that, but you carry it back from that point. You are doing something, drilling anywhere on Earth for oil. Go back a little bit further. you are doing something. You are not taking advantage of renewable resources. Take it back from there. You are not paying attention to what this planet is trying to tell you. Now, when you get back to that level, which was maybe 40, 50 years ago, 30 or 40 years ago, when there were some people who were saying, you're not paying attention to what this planet is telling you. A lot of that was written off as New Age garbage. Planet telling me? What are you talking about? Planet doesn't tell me anything. God damn, I'm a Christian. I get to dominate everything. Or I'm a Jew, or I'm a Muslim. No, I'm a Hindu. I don't give a damn anyway. I'm just going to keep, you know, on the wheel of birth and death forever until I get off the damn thing. I don't care. You know, the religions about this stuff are mad. They're insane. So you can go, you can take it even back further if you want to. But if we are talking in terms of apocalyptic events, I don't think there's any question for someone who wants to be honest with himself or herself. But I said earlier this evening, it's not BP's fault. It's not George Bush's fault. We had many opportunities over the last 3 or 4 or 5 decades to stop this insanity. But no! Oh, hell no! I want that new iPhone! Woo-hoo! I want that new SUV, some bitch. I want a Hummer. Yeah, but you're killing the planet. Oh, don't give me that liberal crap. You know, who was it that said, I think it was on one of the phone calls, the abuser never says, I told you so. Or something like that. I got the gist of the phone call, but... You know, so here we are. If this is an event that is A, survivable, or B, fixable, or C, in the future avoidable, I hope that with the deaths of 11 people, the injuring of scores of others, and this unmitigated catastrophe that is occurring in the Gulf of Mexico might possibly serve as some kind of notice to the human species. You have to stop. You have got to stop what you're doing. Probably not.
When it rains, it pours out of a poisonous sky. In California, the body counts keep getting higher. It's evil out there, man. That state is always on fire. Everyone has a system, but they can't seem to win. Even Bob Geldof looks alarmingly thin. I got to get on that shuttle, get me out of this place. But there's gonna be warfare up there in outer space. It's been a hard day on the planet. How much is it all worth? It's getting harder to understand it. Things are tough all over.
It's about 10 before the hour. Blue is calling from Nunchi Bazar, Nepal.
No, not Bazar. not Bazar, Mike. Bazar, B-A-Z-A-R. It's like a market.
Yeah.
But I'm amazed that I'm actually getting through. I had to buy a new SIM card.
Yeah.
And signed my life away, and I was told that at that I'd be lucky to get through out of Nepal.
Well, here you are.
But
how high up are you?
We're at about 10,000 feet now. We're going on a trek over to the Annapurna region where Maurice Herzog and a bunch of French climbers got up to the top of Annapurna, which is a 27,000 footer, uh-huh. in 1951. But at the moment, we're on the other side of the country. We're at Namche Bazaar, and looking out from we're sitting in a chalet having breakfast now, and I can see Sagarmatha, which is Everest, just to the north of this, and then way off to the northeast by the border of Sikkim is Kanchenjunga, and a bit closer on this side of Kanchenjunga is Makalu, and they're all 9,000-meter peaks.
So how long have you been at 10,000 feet?
We've been up here for about 4 days now.
So you don't have a headache now?
No, we haven't really been doing much strenuous work. We're going to spend another couple of days acclimatization on the way up to the Annapurna region. We're going to get up to about 5,500 meters, which is about 70,000 feet. And so we're going to do some climbing. We'll go up a little bit higher, then come back down at night and rest, and then go up again and so on.
Now, let me ask you, what is the point of the climb? And please don't say because it's there.
Well, neither one of us are climbers in the technical sense, but I've always loved Nepal. I've been up here a number of times myself. Cherie's never been up here before.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always admired people like Maurice Herzog and, of course, Tenzing Norgay and Sredman Hillary,
mm-hmm.
who got to the top of Everest in 1953. And I can forgive him being a New Zealander. I think he was actually an Australian at heart. But this is a wonderful country, wonderful people, very hospitable people. It's a beautiful country. You can go from subtropical to, the top of the world in a matter of days.
Now, let me ask you, Blue. I watch CNN here in the States, and when the person in the studio interviews somebody 5,000 miles away, there is a decided gap between the transmission coming both ways, which causes stilted conversation, and sometimes they talk over each other. How's come when you've called us now from, you've called us from, I think, from Johannesburg, from India, from Nepal, from Australia. Why is there never a delay in the transmission of your voice to us or ours to you?
Well, I've no idea. I make calls routinely all over the world. I call home when I'm traveling.
Yeah.
And
maybe you have a good phone.
Well, no, I don't know what the mechanics of the electronics are involved in the studio remote things that they do. That's uh-huh. not my field of speciality. But in order to make this call, I had to buy a new SIM card, for example. And I was told that I'd be lucky to get out at all.
Mm-hmm.
But one way or the other, it seems to work. Now, I don't know.
Well, it sounds very quiet where you are.
Well, we're sitting in a chalet at 10,000 feet having breakfast here.
Mm-hmm.
And in about an hour or so, we're going to be going back out and going up the trail. We've got about 3 days before we get to the first way station along the route to the Annapurna district. And there's actually a road that you can take. You can go by car, but that's no fun.
Mm-hmm.
So we prefer to do the trek back. But the reason I called was when we arrived up here Tuesday night, the first thing we did on Wednesday morning was to go down to this sort of internet cafe in Kathmandu, and they had the speech, Obama's speech,
mm-hmm.
Concerning this whole business that's going on in the Gulf.
Right.
And I don't know what your reaction to it was, but I was infuriated, actually.
Well, so were most, I think, most people who watched it, especially in this country, especially the part about pray.
Well,
pray for deliverance.
praying. And I believe the first few lines of the speech, the opening of the speech, had to do with
Afghanistan.
With remembering the heroic efforts of the troops in Iraq and so on and so forth, which I found appalling. But I think the real reason that I can't stay away from this, one of the reasons we came up here was to get away from all of this. and it seems you can't do it. I've been hearing a lot of talk, and we monitor the internet pretty regularly. As I've said before, one reason being that whatever happens there in your country sooner or later affects the rest of us. And it is one planet. I'm a citizen of planet Earth, and so are you.
Mm-hmm.
And the reef belongs to you. The Great Barrier Reef belongs to you, and the Gulf of Mexico belongs to me. And
Blue, will you give us a call back if you can tomorrow? We are about to disconnect from the satellite service here. We're out of time. All right.
All right. Good day.
All right. Be careful. Blue. Have a good time. Take care.
Yep.
All right, Blue. Tonight he's in Nepal. Well, he says we're going to get a call from Blue, and he will be on a ship approaching the Van Allen asteroid belt. We'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.